All right, would you turn to 1 John chapter number 3, verse number 1. First John chapter 3, verse number 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. You want to move down to verse number 10 and continue our reading in verse 10. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Again, going to verse 23 for the last of our reading in this text. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. We want to preach this morning with a title, a very simple title of Love One Another. A statement that is found multiple times throughout the New Testament by all the writers of the New Testament. Verse 11. We're told this is the message we've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Verse 14, we know that we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Verse 23, love one another as he gave us commandment. By his writings, John has been called the disciple of love. He spoke of it so often. John never forgot, as we often do, what Jesus taught him and the other apostles. John writes about it often. And we go back to John's Gospel, chapter number 13 and verse 34, and read this. The night that the Lord gave the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, in verse 34, he says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. The next verse, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. You'll see from reading this that John is merely repeating in his epistle what he heard from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ, and stressing that in this epistle that he wrote. We find also in chapter 15 of John's Gospel and in the 12th verse, Jesus repeats it. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. You know, we remember things that are spoken to us frequently or repeatedly. I remember some of the teachings of my mother. She really stressed to me, when you get married, you love your wife. That comes to me often. Maybe not as often as it should, but those things that my mother taught me, my father taught me. And John, I believe, and if you look further in chapter 15 and verse 17, you'll see it again. These things I command you, that you love one another. Jesus really emphasized this. Therefore, John puts great emphasis on it. And again, Jesus gives the standard here, as I have loved you. Not just love one another, but he gives a standard for that. Four times in the Gospel of John, we find Jesus speaking these words, and he's speaking it as a commandment, not a suggestion, a commandment. He stresses it. And he gives the standard that we'll be measured by. I told the church Wednesday night, we're going to preach this coming Wednesday night on the judgment seat of Christ. One of the standards that will be measured against is how we kept this commandment and how we measured up to what Jesus Christ told us. Love one another as I have loved you. Paul stressed this in Romans 13:8. Let's just look at a few passages to try to get this point very clearly in your mind. Romans 13, verse number 8. Owe no man anything, Romans 13, 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Paul tells us when we love one another, we fulfill the law. Jesus said, when we love one another, all men shall know that you're my disciples. He also says in 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 12. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 12. Paul writing to the church at Thessalonica says, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another, and toward all men, even as we do toward you. Love one another. The fourth chapter in verse 9. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. I will go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 at the close of our message, where Paul wrote that great epistle on love, or that great chapter on love. We'll go back to that later. But let's look at Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. What does Peter say about this subject? 1 Peter 1, verse 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart. Fervently. Is Peter stressing this? Not just that you love one another, you love one another with a pure heart, fervently. John further in 1 John chapter 4, verse 11, brings this up again in the fourth chapter in verse number 11. Beloved, if God so love us, we ought also to love one another. Verse 12. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. 2 John chapter 1, verse number 5. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. I hope in reading all these passages, and there are others, but I tried to select some from the writers of the New Testament. There's a strong inducement, there's a strong commandment directly from the Lord Jesus Christ through the apostles that we love one another. And we're not left to our imagination or our reasonings or our emotions in this matter of love. Because if we were left to that, we could pass off anything and everything as loving the brethren. In verse number 10 of 1 John 3, we read this again. In this, the children of God are manifest. In other words, they're brought forth in the light. This is the way you can distinguish them. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. Selah. Now, this does not mean that we are perfectly righteous in every aspect. We understand that. We don't teach sinless perfection. We don't believe in sinless perfection because the Bible tells us in the same 1 John, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's a false teaching to believe that you love God to such a degree that you don't sin. That's a lie. It's not truth. But it is truth that if we've been born again, if we are indeed, as he began this third chapter with, if we're sons of God, we will desire and we will strive to love one another in a way that God wants us to. When something is plainly revealed, as John says it is here, and he further amplifies that with verse 11, for this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. If we don't love our brother, we're not keeping the commandment. Those that are not righteous are not of God. It's that simple. If a person's life, if the tenor of their life is wickedness and ungodliness, they're not of God. None of us are perfect. But is that the tenor of our life? Is that what we live for? Is that what we're imbibed and involved in every day? Ungodliness, uncleanness, wickedness? If it is, we're not of God. No matter how much we may say, I love the brethren, I love the Lord, I've been saved, I'm a Christian. If our life is filled with wickedness, if the practice of our life is wickedness, we're not of God, John says. John's also called the apostle of truth. These two things he stressed very much, truth and loving the brethren. The message we want to preach you today is a message that Christ began during the days of his earthly ministry. Love one another as I've loved you. And John goes on in verse 12, and let's read this together. Not as Cain was of that wicked one. Make note of this. I had a discussion with a preacher, a quite lengthy discussion about this very matter. And I want the church to be clear on this. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one. In other words, who controlled Cain's life? Why did he kill his brother? What was the tenor of his life? Why wouldn't he repent when God gave him an opportunity? Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Why did he kill Abel? Why did Cain kill Abel? John tells us, And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. The discussion that we had about this was as it relates to Hebrews chapter 11. If you'll turn back there, I want you to see this in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 4. Hebrews 11, 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Now, this is what the preacher told me. Cain's sacrifice wasn't all that bad. It's what he tried to justify. See, the problem was not with Cain's sacrifice. And we had a long and lengthy discussion. I never did convince him, and he never did convince me. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Abel's offering was more acceptable to God. It's called more excellent. And I want you to remember that term, more excellent sacrifice. The reasoning of the preacher was, it wasn't the sacrifice that was a problem. I said it was the very sacrifice that was a problem. When we read in 1 John, what John says about this, and I just read it, but I'll read it again to stress it. What do you say about Cain's sacrifice? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteousness. What he did was evil. The offering that he bought was an evil offering. God rejected it because it was evil. Why was Abel's a more excellent sacrifice? A lot of reasoning in this, but it's so plain in the scriptures. He brought of the fat of the lamb and offered it to God, and we see the blood. He slew an animal. Cain didn't. He brought the fruits of the ground. He brought all that he had prepared himself and thought God should accept this. That's the reasoning of every human being. That's born into this world, they come into this world with that reasoning. Well, God will accept me if I do the best I can. Cain did the best he could, and he brought it to God, and God said, no, it's evil. Take it back. And then he goes on to say, and we don't read this in Genesis chapter 4, but you can read it. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? In other words, if your offering would be the same as Abel's, I would accept you. He didn't tell him, well, your offering's not too bad. He said, if your offering would be the same as Abel's, I would accept you. But his offering was not the same as Abel's, and God rejected him, and he got madder. He's already mad at his brother, now he's mad at God. And he refused to repent. And God told him, sin lieth at the door. And Cain was driven out into the wilderness. Now, that's not our message, but I wanted to bring this in. Because I think it's important to understand, not as Cain. Don't claim you're loving your brother in the same way that Cain loved his brother and said, am I my brother's keeper? God asked him, where's your brother? Am I my brother's keeper? He should have known exactly where your brother was. Matter of fact, he did know exactly where his brother was. He was out there in the ground where he hid him, trying to hide his body. Cain was of that wicked one. What caused him to kill his brother? What caused Eve to take of the fruit that was forbidden? What caused Adam to follow his wife? Who was it that enticed him to do this? Who enticed Cain to slay his brother because he didn't like the fact that God accepted Abel and wouldn't accept him? What caused him to kill his own brother? Because his works were evil, and he was angry. When we talk about love, we have to deal with anger. When we talk about loving the brethren, because of the natural disposition that we have through Adam, our nature that we receive from him, anger is always a problem. Anger. Abel had a more excellent sacrifice because it followed what God had done when he brought the coats of skin to Adam and Eve and clothed their nakedness. He had to slay an animal to do that. Abel had to slay an animal to bring the fat of one of his sheep. But John goes further to tell us in our text, he was of that wicked one. What did Jesus say in John, the Gospel of John now, chapter number 8? Verse number 44, speaking to the Pharisees who were constantly accusing the Lord and standing in the way of sinners coming to the Lord. In John 8:44, Jesus said, "You're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do." You see, John remembered that too. When he attributed to Cain that he was of his father the devil, he did what he did because Satan enticed him and led him to do that, and he followed the leading of Satan. "You're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do." He was a murderer from the beginning. Do you think John understood what Jesus was saying? Why was Satan attributed with being a murderer? What was the first murder in the Bible? Who committed the first murder? Cain. Why did he commit it? Because of his father, who enticed him and led him to do that, and he killed his own brother. He was a murderer from the beginning. And abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. He's a murderer. He's the father of murder. He's a liar and he's the father of lies. These are things that we must deal with, beloved, in loving the brethren. We have to deal with the anger, the hatred that comes up in our heart like it did in Cain's. We have to deal with untruth. We have to deal with determining truth from error. We have to understand that just because somebody accuses a brother of something, we're not to accept that. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. Those are the words of Jesus Christ. So John heard, and John remembered. God help us to remember who we're fighting against. Paul says our battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against principalities, against powers. It's against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Our battle is against Satan, and it's real. And when it comes to loving the brethren, you have to deal with this. Then he says in verse 14, we know that we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. Do you ever doubt your salvation? Do you ever have things come into your life that cause you to doubt? Fall back on this. What's your attitude toward the brethren? You want to kill them like Cain did Abel? You have hatred against him, unjustified hatred, unjust hatred. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. John says we know we've passed from death unto life because we remember the commandment of the Lord Jesus Christ. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one. A new commandment. All the commandments are true and right and just and holy, but this is a new commandment. Because, beloved, on this commandment hangs all the others. If we love one another, we'll love God. We'll not take his name in vain. We'll love the Sabbath day and we'll keep it holy. We'll love our father and our mother. We'll love our neighbor. We won't commit adultery against his wife. We won't try to steal from him. You see, all the law hangs on this. Loving one another. Now, what is this love? Some people think it's, well, it's just saying it. I love you, brother. I love the brethren. But words are cheap. Deeds cost you something. And John gets into that. If we look back in our text, in verse 16, hereby receive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. You want to know what it means to love your brother? John's going to tell you. But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? You know, love is a misunderstood thing. Some people think, well, I'm going to Walmart and I see a man over there and he's got a cup out there and a bucket or whatever, and I reach my arm out the door and I drop some money in the bucket and I feel good about that. I just love my brother. You think God wants us to love him personally? Someone that we don't know at all? Someone that may take that very money that you've dropped in his bucket and go get some drugs or some alcohol? You say, well, that's his problem. No, it's our problem if we don't use some wisdom in what we do. We need to know who we're helping and how we're helping. That's what real love is. Love is reasonable. It's not unreasonable. We'll deal with that later in the message, but John says in verse 2 of chapter 3, beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know. Real love gives you knowledge, assurance, direction. You know what you're doing. You don't do something haphazardly and say, well, I fulfilled loving the brethren because I put 2 quarters in that man's bucket. You think you've loved the brethren. I'm not hindering you from putting 2 quarters in that man's bucket if you want to, if you feel you can do that. Fine, but don't think you're fulfilling the commandment of God by helping someone out on the street begging. What is love? How do we express it? Words are okay. I think it's right and good to express love for your family, for church members. But beloved, that's not the end of everything. Are we willing to lay down our lives for the brethren? It may come to that. It hasn't to this point. Some of our forefathers had to. They had to lay down their life for the brethren. I believe the apostles laid down their life for the brethren. John laid down his life for the brethren. But are we willing to do that? Would we go that far? And he just uses an example of whosoever has this world's good, and you don't feed your brother. But you need to make sure you're feeding him his necessary needs for the stomach and not his need for a fix or his need for another binge. I believe love has discernment with it. Love not in word, verse 18 says, my little children, let us not love in word. Say, I love you, brethren. I love you, brother. I love you, sister. I love you, church. You got to go further than that. That's not the end. Love not in word. And think that's the end of the matter. It's all right in its place. Neither in tongue. You think saying it is what God expects and what satisfies God for this commandment? John says no. Neither in tongue, but in deed, and especially in truth. Love the brethren in truth. Not hypocritically. Not wanting to feel good by doing a little something to make somebody feel better, or doing a little something to ease your conscience. But love in truth. And beloved, love and truth go hand in hand. James commented on this. Just back up a few pages. James chapter 1, verse 22 gives us some direction. He says in this, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. When Jesus said, I command you that you love one another, James says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. You see, love, real love, has action with it. Now let's go back to 1 Corinthians 13. We all love this chapter. I love to preach from it because it has such a tremendous message. And the Apostle Paul, in writing to this church at Corinth, let me just give you some background. You go back and read earlier in the book, and he said there's divisions among you. You can read about how there was jealousy. Some of them wanted to prophesy. They had envy in their midst. I want to prophesy like he does. I want to speak with tongues like she does. I want to do these things that everybody else is doing. They were divided. They were envious. They were mad at one another. Paul says to them in chapter number 12, verse 31, but covet earnestly the best gifts. You know, those gifts were necessary at that time. And Paul's not speaking against the gifts that they needed. They needed men to stand up in the midst of the church and prophesy. They didn't have the Word of God. They didn't have the New Testament. The early churches did not have the New Testament. We have it now, and we think everybody had. No, they did not have the New Testament. For some years, they did not have the letters that Paul wrote to the Corinthian church. They didn't even have the Gospels. So men would rise up in the midst of the congregation, and the Spirit of God would move them to prophesy, to speak, to preach. And everybody wanted to do it. And Paul was correcting their thinking. Covet earnestly the best gift. Nothing wrong with the gifts. The problem is with you. Because he goes on to say in verse 31 of 1 Corinthians 12, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. What did I tell you to remember about Abel's sacrifice? Abel presented to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Paul says, I show unto you a more excellent way. They were divided. Paul was trying to bring them together, trying to tell them these factions are not good for you. They're causing disunity in the church. You need to put these things aside. I'm going to show you a more excellent way. Chapter 13, verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. I love you, church. I love you, brother so-and-so. I love you, sister so-and-so. If you could say that with your tongue and the angel's tongue. And have not charity. And become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Paul says there's nothing to it. It's just a bunch of jangling. Love not in word, John says, but in deed. And Paul says, if you could speak with the tongue of an angel and say, I love you, brother. If it's not truth, it's like a tinkling cymbal. Verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy, which is what they were desiring. I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries. They want to understand everything. And all knowledge. And though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Paul tells us, first of all, what love is not. Love is not desiring gifts, which they were doing. And now he's going to tell them why they were desiring it. Verse 4, charity suffereth long. And is kind. The word charity is put in by the translators. It's exactly the same word that John used, agape. If it's in the verb form, it's agape. I've got that backwards. If in the verb, it's agapos. If it's in the noun form, it's different. But the same Greek word, agape, same word used here, but it's translated different by the translators. And I trust you can see why they would do that. Why would they translate it love in other places and charity here? Well, read. Charity suffers long and is kind. What was wrong with the church at Corinth? When they were angry with one another, upset with one another, because he can prophesy and I can't. She can speak with tongues and I can't. He can do this, she can do that, and I can't. What did it cause? Bitterness. The charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Ooh, what were they doing? They were envious of one another. They wanted what the rest of them had. And it wasn't God's will. The Bible teaches us. God gave special gifts to special people for special purposes. It's not a blanket thing. Charity envieth not. Remember that. A new commandment I give unto you, that you agape one another, that you love one another. Agape suffereth long and is kind. Agape envieth not. To love the brethren means not to be envious of the brethren. Not to feel any enmity or anger or bitterness in your heart because they can do something you can't do. Read on. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Why did they want these gifts? God knew their heart. Paul knew what they was thinking. Why did they want to be able to prophesy? Well, he can do it and I can't. I want to be able to do it too, so I can. What did it do to him? What would it have done to him if he'd been able to do it? Paul said in the 8th chapter of this same letter, in verse 1 of 1 Corinthians 8, now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but love, or charity, edifieth. In the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, real love does not manifest itself in envy, jealousy, people feeling more important than others, more full of themselves than others. That's not love. It's the exact opposite of it. Because love doth not behave itself unseemly. Love seeketh not her own. What were they after? Each one wanted him his own. He wanted to be better than someone else. He wanted to be able to do what they were doing and do it even better. God knows the heart. No wonder the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That's the heart that's in us. And it was in the church. And it's in you. And it's in me. Because of the fall, we have that spirit. And Paul is saying, is not easily provoked. You see, love isn't easily provoked. When you get mad at someone over something in the church, something trivial. Churches have split over silly little old things that didn't amount to anything because people were provoked. They didn't practice what the Lord said. I command you that you love one another. And love is not easily provoked. Paul said of himself, many burn, or many are offended, and I burn not. He put into practice what he's writing about here. Thinketh no evil. Lay that alongside Genesis chapter number 6. Love thinketh no evil. What does it say? The condition of the world in Genesis chapter 6. The thoughts and intents of their heart were only evil continually. That's in you. Because you're a descendant of Adam and Eve, just like I am. It's in all of us. We think evil. We think the worst of people instead of thinking the best. It just comes out, beloved. And what are we to do? If we are to keep the commandment of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're to love one another and don't think evil about everything. Resist it. No, it's wrong in you and it's wrong in anybody else. Don't think evil. Notice as we go on. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. That's in us too. We rejoice in iniquity. Some of the most popular television shows today, I'm telling you what, I don't watch them. I can't even stand to watch the commercials. They're wicked. People are clapping their hands and, oh, did you see that program? Man, was that ever violent. Man, was that ever good. Yeah. It was iniquity. It's full of iniquity. 7 says, beareth all things, believeth all things, and hopeth all things, and endureth all things. That's charity. We endure offenses from people. We endure people hating us. You see, beloved, charity was the word they used because charity implies that you're doing something to help others. We understand that in the natural realm. They have charitable works and people do things to help people in need. So it's called charity. Well, they use the same word, but actually the word is exactly the same as what John used when he says, I command you that you love one another. Because what we're to do, and he goes on to tell us, if we see someone have need and shut up our bowels and compassion toward them, the love of God is not in us. This is a commandment that Jesus really stressed. We're to be doers of the word and not hearers only. We're not to be speaking the word so much. If you never told someone that you loved them and you did so many things to demonstrate that you were concerned and caring about them, it would be far better than tell them 1,000 times, I love you. Because love is actually action. The love that God showed toward us, God so loved the world that he gave. You see what I'm saying? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten, the best thing he had. The word love is so misunderstood and so misrepresented in the world we live in. As God's people, let's not forget what it really means. Love suffers long and is kind. Oh, kindness is such a comforting thing. It's so needed in the day we're living. Now I'll read verse 23 and we'll close. I'm still in Corinthians, so let me find 1 John 3:23. This is a commandment that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ. That is a commandment. It's not a suggestion, it's a commandment. And love one another. They're both necessary. This is a more excellent way that Paul talks about. Oh, yeah, you can speak with tongues and you can have all knowledge and you can move mountains. But Paul said, you want to know the best way? Do what Jesus said, just love one another. When people disgust you, when people offend you, when people say all manner of evil about you, love one another. You'll have great opportunity to practice what I've read to you and preached to you this morning in the coming week, maybe today. Are you easily offended? Don't let it be one of the brethren. Let it be the world. Are you upset about this, that, and the other constantly? Check your love. Maybe you're not even trying to do what Jesus said. Love is action. Love does things. Love manifests itself. It's not just a bunch of words. It's activity toward those that need it. May God help us to remember this is a commandment. It's not a suggestion. It's not up to our reasoning and our emotions and the way we feel about it. This is a clear commandment. You suffer long and still be kind. You refuse to be envious. You speak well of people rather than speaking evil of them. You do that which is right, and God will bless you. Father, bless your word according to your purpose. Forgive our sin through the blood of Christ. May he be trusted. If there's anyone here today that's lost, may they see the importance of keeping this commandment and loving him, believing on him. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.